Hello and welcome to Owning It, the podcast that celebrates the inspiring choices made by women who refuse to simply follow the crowd and chose the road less traveled. I'm your host, Sandhya Tukaram, and in each episode, we'll have real conversations with these incredible women who choose to carve their own path because following just isn't an option. They may not be making headlines, but every one of them is a role model. So join me and let's explore the power of choice and the inspiration it brings right here on Owning It. My guest today is Ashika Abraham Chittiappa, co-founder Mama Mia. I first met Ashika when she was a young girl in school, later bumped into her as a young working professional. And today, I'm super stoked to be in conversation with Ashika as a young entrepreneur and the mother of two young daughters, and understand from her the choices she has made, the paths she has navigated as she continues owning it.
Thank you very much for having me, Sandhya. I'm hoping some of what I have to say will resonate in different ways for different people's stages of life or entrepreneurship.
I'm sure all of it will resonate, but let's start from the very beginning. What was that point when Ashika decided, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur?
So now that I'm here, I think my mom brings up this story that apparently when I was young, I used to say that someday I'm going to run my own business and I'll be helping lots of people around the world and I'll be making lots and lots of money. And I mean, she's only brought that story up now because I guess I was probably distracted with quite a dizzyingly exciting career so far that I've never thought of entrepreneurship as an approach, at least in my adult career life. I started at Ernst & Young after college, and then somebody met me and said, hey, look, there's an interesting job. You have to meet people and travel the world. Would you like to do it? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. That sounds like what I'd like to do. So I worked in Formula One for a while. I did a lot of motorsport work, worked in the beginning of IPL, and had a very exciting career in my 20s, I think. And then when I became a mom for the first time, I thought this would be like everything else. I'll take it on the chin. You know, I'm sure I'll figure out a way to manage it. It'll all be this great, easy balance. But I honestly felt like I'd been hit by a freight train. I was just blown away by how difficult that transition became of a successful career to a working mother. Mm. And I kept saying I'd get back to work. I'd jump back in. I would take a little bit of time to do the mothering piece, set it all up, and then go back. And then I realized just the one additional hat that I was wearing as a mother had a disproportionate pull on my time and my mind space and my ability to actually follow my own dreams and make space for the things that matter to me. I think that's when I realized I looked and looked and looked for a solution for it. I spoke to, in fact, a lot of women, I think, who'd gone ahead, who had balanced really beautifully their careers, the things that mattered to them, their children, their friendships, all of the stuff that mattered to them. And I think the only place I could find those answers was in the stories of these women, actually. There was no tool, there was no way to bring that into my life. And that's when I think I decided to venture into entrepreneurship and start Mama Mia as it is today. But it's really just been a journey of solving a problem that's so deep and core to me. And I think I spent the next couple of years just talking to hundreds of mothers about this problem, literally hundreds of mothers around the world, without even realizing there was a business in the making. It was like, how are you doing this? How are you managing? How are you solving? What is the problem? Like, do you feel this problem too? Is it just me? And that's, I think, when I realized, okay, clearly there's something to be solved here. And then I think over a few years, it became a business, but it was really just real.
How long have you been on this journey? Mama Mia officially become a business?
Official, I think I'd want to say 6 years, but I think we spent a good 2.5-3 years just talking to different moms while still, you know, managing everything else that I was trying to do work-wise. But officially maybe 5.5-6 years.
You've had a bunch of these conversations with women, perhaps experiencing a lot of what you had, and then you realize, no, there's a problem to be solved here. And what happens then?
I literally went to someone who was like somewhere between a friend and a relative who was maybe 10, 15 years older. And I said, hey, you know, it seems like a really big problem. Do you want to solve this? And her name's actually Sarah Chandy. And I remember she had no idea what I was talking about. I just said, like, so many moms seem to be having this problem. Let's figure out how to solve it. I don't know what it is. And I think she was one of those, probably the first person who I was like, Shall we just take the sleep? I don't even know if it's a business, if it's a thought process, if it's a conversation, what, let's figure it out. And so I think she was one of the first people who was willing to take that plunge without having any idea what it would look like. So I think having that person along with you on the journey of figuring out is hugely helpful, because you need to have those conversations. You need to be asking questions and be asked questions constantly, like simple questions, like, are you solving for the mother or are you solving for the child, right?
You have to be so clear, right?
Exactly. It's a journey of clarity. It's a spark, and then it's a journey of clarity. So I feel like she was definitely one of the first few ones. And then I have to say my father-in-law and my mom, they were the ones who were willing to pull out a check and, you know, be like, okay, let's give it a shot. I went to them with like these long, painful, I mean, now when I look back at my presentation to the pitch decks we've now evolved into, it was one long drawn out thing of how, why do we think this is so important? What could the potential in this idea be? So I think, again, it's a journey of articulating a spark of, that is something that needs to be solved. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to pour myself into solving that. And then finding those people to get that buy-in, you constantly need that clarity. So I think my father-in-law and my mom were the first ones to take that leap in terms of, okay, let's figure it out. And then I think when people like my dad, who he's a chartered accountant of many, many years, very risk-averse, I think when those kind of contributions started coming in, I was like, okay, now we're like a legitimate business. This is worth following. All of that time, I wasn't entirely sure. And yeah, I think a huge amount of it, especially for moms, comes to like, it's that village, right? So it was the fact that my husband was willing to take, like, share that responsibility of home and children and everything else as close to equal as possible. And also the fact that I wasn't being able to contribute to the income at home for a while. I think that was also something that was where I think that his support was really critical. And I think that village that you have is critical, you know, is probably the most important thing to be able to start off. It's having somewhere for your kids to go, because it's quite brutal in the beginning, the amount of time and energy you need. So you need people to lean on. I mean, I think I pulled in cousins and family and friends and all, whether professional, personal. I feel like that's probably the most important thing. And they lent on my immediate family and friends a huge amount in the beginning.
Do you think this is unique, Ashika, to women, this needing this village to really follow your dreams?
Moms have it the hardest, or like women who reach the top of their careers have it the hardest, because most men or CEOs have somebody else managing the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And so all they can primarily focus
on that one job,
what they want to do. And there's somebody else managing their home, managing their children, managing everything else.
Did you have to create this community and intentionally reach out to people to support you? Or did it just fall in place?
Those relationships definitely evolved a lot more. I've always been quite committed to that, like, inner circle of mine. But I think I was normally the one giving a lot. I was very unused to asking. Mother-in-law keeps my kids a huge amount, right? They come back from school and they go straight to her house, and she does the after-school snack and, you know, half of the homework and everything else. I mean, those are things that have been essential in me being here today. But so when people say, you know, I like that distance with, you know, my in-laws, is that I know I changed a lot of the things that I would earlier. I was normally the one giving and not asking. So I think that becomes really important. And two, I think is you learn to let go of a lot of things because you realize there's a bigger picture, right? So I think that's equally important, is you have to service the bigger picture of your vision sometimes. And that might mean leaning on people a lot more, asking for a lot of help, being willing to, you know, let go of certain smaller, potentially petty things.
We have you trying to solve this big problem that stemmed from your own need to solve it. You have your early supporters in your mother and your father-in-law, and then you find yourself having a legit business. What were your biggest surprises once the business is a business? What were things that you said, oh my God, I didn't even think about this thing?
Just to backtrack a little bit, I feel like the hardest thing till date was having the courage to start. Mm-hmm. I think that has been till date the most difficult thing, is to say, hey, I have an idea. I'm going to put a lot of my life, my ego, my relationships, my time, my energy on the line to chase that. I think that was probably still the hardest thing, that decision to start. So if you actually get past that, the rest of it really has a way of falling into place. So I really encourage people out there who are on the edge, like the most difficult thing you can do is to cross that thing of saying, I'm going to give it a shot. I think the way I looked at it is, what is the cost of not pursuing that, right? Like spending the rest of my life thinking, oh, I have a great idea. It could be really successful. I could create success on my terms. I could live on my, you know, create my idea of a perfect life. So I think when you're struggling with the courage of whether to start or not, I'd say, just think about what's the cost of not. Like they always say, regret is the strongest, deepest, though it's the worst kind of feeling to have, right? So I think it's always better to try, fail, and figure it out. Having said that, I think when, like you said, post starting, I think it's really how long it can take. Having an idea and turning it into reality and then convincing, you know, having the courage to pursue it, like I said, and then translating that, articulating that ideas into a concept and then getting buy-in of other people, whether that's co-founders, whether that's mentors or accelerator programs or customers, you're just constantly re-articulating an idea into like concepts for different kinds of people. That journey took a lot longer than I imagined. It still is taking a lot longer. I imagine that in 5 years, I would have been where I wanted to be. It's taken a lot longer than that. Probably also because I have not, again, pushed back a little bit on the current entrepreneurship, hustle culture. I don't know. I don't like gender bashing. I feel like it's not the direction I want to go, but I think I've been very intentional about, I'm doing this because I want a better sense of work-life balance as well. I don't want to hit somewhere in 5 years that the last 5 years were a blur as a result, right? Because these are equally critical years in every aspect of whether it's my parents getting older, my children growing up, or my work succeeding. I wanted to continue to keep that balance. So it does land up taking a lot.
It's so critical to everything that's your reality, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. I think we're in this big cultural thing to escalate and to accelerate and to move at the speed of light, because I guess everybody's coming in, like VCs are coming in with their own mandates.
Do you find that noise gets to you?
Definitely. It definitely does. I feel like, you know, I expected it to happen faster, but expected it to happen based on what, right? Just based on the stories you're hearing of how long it takes for somebody to become. But I think, like they say, it takes about 10 years to be an overnight success, right? Like today, people are like, you're still at it. You know, my God, how have you been doing it? And I keep hearing that perseverance is one of the strongest determiners of success. I think perseverance with a lot of intentional pivoting. I mean, you obviously shouldn't go blindly into it, but I think that's another very, very difficult part about entrepreneurship, is just having the courage to continue. You know, when you see like long flat periods of things not taking off, it's very difficult to keep going. But again,
because I think you know the vision you have and you need to keep the blinkers on, because it's so easy to get detracted, but like you said, by others' idea of what success is. Because if you measured it by your own yardstick, it doesn't mean there's no struggle there, but you're clear about where you need to go, and then you deal with what comes in the way of getting there.
Absolutely. It's in my head, it's not 5 years to success. In my head, it is, I want millions of mothers around the world to feel a certain way. Until I feel like I can achieve that, I'm going to keep doing it. If it's going to take me 5 years, great. If it's going to be seven, fabulous. But if it's going to be 15, I'm in there to achieve that vision, right? And I think that's what drives entrepreneurship at the end of the day, is a deep desire to see the world differently to the way it is. And a feeling that you have some clarity on how you can do that, or what it could look like with your version of reality.
As a woman entrepreneur, solving a large problem and where you are and having stuck with it for over 6 years, is it now important to also have the visible success?
I feel like when it started, it was like, how do I solve this for myself? And then I'm seeing all of these really smart women falling on the wayside in their careers or in their own dreams, even if not careers. And so that obviously definitely like created a certain energy that pushed me through the hard times. But I think now when I look at it, there's a very clear business angle to what I'm doing as well, right? And I think the journey of that has been extremely interesting to understand as well. Like, how do you create it? How do you create a sustainable business? It's not, if I keep running it on my own passion and then I pop it tomorrow, it's over. I feel like the impact is tremendously important to me personally, but professionally turning it into a very successful business on slightly different terms to maybe again the narrative I feel out there. Like, I think my co-founder and I have always been very clear that we didn't want to push the numbers, for example, our number of downloads, more than we wanted to create deep engagement, right? Can a mother who comes in today, can she be using the app 5 or 3 years later or 10 years later and still find great value? Like, are we changing her life in a way that she wants to keep dedicating her time and energy to putting it back in? Is she willing to pay for that? Can we create a business that's sustainable in the long term, but profitable, right? Like, there's no point in me creating these, you know, huge download numbers. And I feel like there's...
And if it didn't translate to profitability.
Yeah. The profitability is the best one of it, right?
The best kind of business is one that makes revenue. You know, the VC funding and all of that are for different reasons, for scale. But if you have a model that generates revenue, you have a legit solid business.
And profitability, right? So you have the power to grow, or the confidence to grow and to keep reinvesting in like new ideas and like
without compromise, you stay as true to your vision as possible because you don't have to depend to external demands. And
actually one of the reasons we kind of really, honestly, the last five years I have not pulled a salary. I was that kid who didn't take $100 from my dad. I just had so much pride of I would do it on my own. So it's been really, really hard the last few years financially. But I feel like one of the strongest things that has come out of that is just recognizing how important it is to build in that sustainability, to build that profitability. But we didn't want to go in early for funding because I feel like had we gone in too early, then suddenly you can have a fund telling you, no, you must focus on the productivity piece. That's the part that's important. And we're like, not really for the mother. Like, my instincts on the product I'm creating and the solution that's required are quite strong.
You know it best.
I know it best, not just because I know it, but because I'm the one who's spoken to the hundreds of women, right? I'm seeing their day-to-day lives. I'm seeing the subtleties in the stuff they're carrying home and the stuff that you cry about over a drink. You know, that's the stuff that I feel like you're never going to see in secondary research. And so I cannot prove to anybody. So I felt like we needed to get the product and the business to a place that we can be trusted to actually make those right decisions in, at least in terms of the direction that the product goes. So
what are resources and information you wish was available out there when you started? Something like a ready reckoner that looking back, you felt, God, I wasted so much time on that stuff. If it was readily available, I could focus more on more critical problem solving.
Honestly, the female founder ecosystem today is incredible, in my opinion. I mean, I know there are stats constantly coming out about how we're not getting the right amount of funding, there are not enough of us at the table, but my experience with it has been incredible. I feel like in the last 2 years, I have derived so much support and optimism and professional advice and all of that from this ecosystem. Even if I have to say so, far more than my classmates who've been men and have also started up. I feel like I didn't have that 5 years ago. So it's definitely in the right direction. Like when I started, I was, you know, first of all these conversations about, you know, starting up, having the courage, balancing the rest of your life, you know, where to go for funding, how to manage it, how to look after your mental health. Even just these things that seem superficial I think the conversations that are happening are very valuable in the beginning. Definitely didn't have that. I had a massive mental health crisis while working on Mamma Mia. In fact, when I was pregnant with my second child, I had very, very bad prenatal depression, which was like very suicidal, and it got really, really bad for a while. And I try to be as public as I can about this because I feel like we don't talk about these conversations enough. When I went through it, a lot of people around me were like, oh, I mean, like even somebody like, because I'm a really painfully positive, optimistic kind of person. So I think for people to see that it could hit me so hard, even with all the right attitude and all of that stuff, you realize that mental health is just a whole different space. And I think the brain and hormones are just like an organ, like any other piece of your body, and needs to be treated and looked after like that. So I have very bad suicidal depression. Again, village was the most important thing I had to lean on. I did finally go in for medication and this and that, and walked my way through it. And that's probably, again, the reason this Mamma Mia journey has taken so long, because for almost a year and a half or 2 years, I had to literally, like, things were on. I would show up to the office just to do an hour of work because that's all I could manage. But my women mentors, in fact, Nandita and Latika and Savita, were all just incredible at that period. And I feel like they taught me the idea of, I'm like a zero to fifth gear, and I only know how to operate in fourth and fifth gear. I've never, and maybe because I was young, and that was the only way I knew how to operate. And I think as women mentors, again, they were the ones who told me, look, learn to operate on second and third gear. At some points in your life, you need to shift down. And it's more important to keep moving forward, because if you keep going,
it's a marathon analogy, right?
100%.
Running a marathon.
So I feel like these kind of things, and sometimes, again, don't want to go into the gender thing, because I feel like it's been nothing but great for us. And when we succeed, I want to succeed not for being a woman or having any advantages, but just because we built a really solid business. But I feel like what the woman founder ecosystem is doing right now is an incredible resource for any woman to lean into. I feel like start attending those events, meeting those women, find inspiring women mentors who can walk you through that journey. I really feel like, and I tell them over and over again, I would not be here today. The company wouldn't even be alive if I didn't have those women to lean on, to give me those hard bits of advice that I needed to, those soft bits when I needed that as well. You know, they really walked me through a lot of it. So I feel like, I would say use that ecosystem. I don't think it was there 5 years ago, but today it's an outstanding ecosystem.
Do you think only a woman can be a good woman mentor?
I think you have different mentors for different reasons. So I feel like we do have a couple of male mentors as well, and they are fabulous. You know, one comes in from a very technical perspective. One comes in from a really, you know, overall a very large, well, balanced perspective of the future of the business. But the women mentors somehow get into a different part of my life as well. They kind of help me see that balance. They kind of help me. They recognize the business as a part of who I am, but they won't let it kill me. They won't let me kill it. You know, they kind of see a bigger picture and a more holistic space in which to operate with it. So they keep reminding me, like, you don't want to just build something to have built it at the end, right? You want to love the journey. You want to build something that's productive, that where you grow out of it, it grows out of you. It's a symbiotic relationship again, if you have to survive, right? You can kill it for 3 years, maybe five. But after that, you're not going to keep going unless you're able to find that balance. I mean, when I had my mental health crisis, my founder, my mentor, Latika Pai at the time would be like, come, I need to have a meeting with you. And she'd just keep me in her house while she carried on doing her work and say, okay, you can do your stuff. Just because she recognized I was in such a low, I just needed that support. And every so often she'd ask me a couple of questions, you know, get me to do research in some different direction. I feel like they kind of recognize, and today when I go back to her, it's all professional advice. I mean, she's on top of that game, but she kind of saw the whole of me and the long term of my business. So I feel like they come in from a slightly different space.
I've found, Ashika, that women are able to balance both equally well. You know, the business, hardcore bit, but also the emotional bit. And I'm glad you spoke so much a little bit about mental health.
I think
it's not enough about it. And there were times when I felt, you know, we read a few blogs and you feel, oh, that's the new thing, but you just simply don't talk enough about it. We haven't created enough space for it. In fact, I've just written a blog about normalizing vulnerability at work, because it is part of life, and I'm glad you spoke about that. I want to end, Ashika, with where do you think, or where do you want Mama Mia to be in 10 years? And I have a connecting question. Will you, I know your daughters are very young, but it's nice that they have a role model who's an entrepreneur, their mother. Do you see that you will guide them through this journey of finding and becoming an entrepreneur? Because when I was young, it wasn't even a consideration.
Just one thing I want to jump into before that, something that Nandita had told me, and I think again is a really good way of looking at when you said like we can balance all of these things really well. I feel like she helped me reframe that, which really changed the way I looked at things. She said, don't look at it as work-life balance or any kind of balance. Look at it as a blend or a rhythm. Different stages in your life, you need a different rhythm or a different blend of these things. When we think balance, we feel like they should equal each other in some sense, but obviously it never does, right? It's a very unique sense. Sometimes the last couple of months, we were going through a massive fundraising round. There was not a lot of balance. But now, you know, and there are other periods where for years, there's been a lot of, like, when my kids have required me more, I've been able to do a lot more of that. So I feel like for all everyone listening out there, I think if you reframe it in your own mind from balance to either blend or rhythm, I think you just think of it so differently. And it takes the pressure off perfection
that
at all.
That it has to be equal,
that it has to be perfect. Yeah. That we have, you know, it's really...
Perfection is highly overrated in my book.
So where do I see Mamma Mia in 10 years? I really see it as a lot more than a product. Like I keep feeling like Mamma Mia... So they say in motherhood that the days are long, but the years are short. Mm. Right? And I think to me, I really wish that we could find a way to help mums thrive rather than just this everyday survival mode in their day-to-day, right? Because of course we look back at motherhood and we're like, oh my God, these were beautiful years. And most mothers you speak to would be like, oh, it goes so fast. You got to enjoy it. Those were not choices I ever wanted to make. I didn't want to say, you know, my kids are not going to be toddlers anymore, so I'm going to spend this many years with them. I wanted to continue to fill my cup as a woman, as well as a mother, as a human being with all of the full experiences I required of life. And so I feel like my vision is really to help millions of other moms find that space on an everyday basis. We all love motherhood. We all know how to do it well. We all, you know, have our own intuitive things on what's best for our children. We all have our own setup. Sometimes you have a village, sometimes you have a partner, sometimes you don't, right? I mean, we all have different unique ways to hit that. To me, I just feel like if we can find every way possible to help moms feel more fulfilled, to feel like they're thriving on a daily basis, rather than when you reflect and you look back and say, oh, that, you know, I feel like every day we should be able to, at least every week, be able to feel fulfilled ourselves, whether that's our careers, whether that's making time for our friendship, whether that's making time for our own health, our own routines, you know, setting up things that really make our life feel full on our own terms, I think is probably...
The journey is as important as the destination.
100%. And how do you be intentional and enjoy, like, just enjoy the hell out of that journey, right? Because we do it only once. And so I feel like Mamma Mia, in my head, is just someday going to help millions and millions of other moms around the world feel that sense of joy every day. Today, it's a planner app. Tomorrow, it might be a community. 3 days later, in my head, it's a movement. It's a movement towards allowing moms to guiltlessly live their own lives fully and still be great mothers and everything else that they want to be, but to still make enough time for themselves and the things that matter to them, I think is really the journey with Mamma Mia. We're already in 106 countries. So I hope that moms all over the world and every city, every country kind of come, start finding us and finding that solution. And honestly, I hope it's a for moms by moms company somewhere deep down inside. I feel like that empathy is fabulous that we have to each other. There's nothing else that can connect to women, but just that journey, you kind of understand a lot of difficulties. So I feel like our product empathy and stuff is great in that sense. A for moms by moms company across hundreds of countries, just helping moms live better everyday lives and in their unique idea of what that better is, right? No pressure to live a perfect life, no pressure to have balance, you know, just a life that feels authentic and fabulous and fulfilling and balanced to you. That's really where I feel Mamma Mia would be. And what was your second question? My daughters, my God, that's half the reason I do it. I think there's so many times I've wanted to quit and I feel like there are so many things I need to teach my daughters, top of which is to hang in there and to follow their dreams. Just because you become a mother or a wife or anything to anybody else, like, I think it's the same thing I've done for myself. I refuse to give up on my childhood like dreams for anybody or anything, and I don't want them to ever feel like they need to do it. And it's really sweet because sometimes I'll find my 7-year-old daughter like a party talking to like a friend's mom, you know, saying, you know, my mama does this, you should try Mamma Mia, they've got a brain dump thing and it'll help you not forget things and do everything you love. And she's, I keep telling my mom, she pitches better than I think I do about what I'm working on.
And you're paying her for the same pitch.
I really think I should, but I think I'm learning so much. I think entrepreneurship is such a speed train to personal growth and to like evolving as a person. And it's easier to learn it professionally and then implement it in your life. But like the other day when we had a PTC and the teacher said, you know, she's struggling with this. And, you know, there are these kinds of issues that she's having with perfection. I realized like these are issues that I'm modeling in a certain way. And I need to keep on being really intentional about how I do it so that they also kind of, I don't think we can tell them and teach them, right? I think you just have to model it and they watch and then they kind of do the things that
they learn by the examples they see. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I feel like I want them to know, like, I mean, I want them to do whatever it is that fulfills them really at the end, but have the courage to do it, have the perseverance to hang out there. So, I mean, whether that's corporate, whether that's professional, whether that's maybe being a great stay-at-home mom, I'm like, just have the values that I feel like.
Entrepreneurship isn't necessarily about the business bit too. There are so many life lessons. You could be entrepreneurial in every aspect of your life. Do what it takes to get to where you want to. That is being an entrepreneur.
Exactly. And I feel like it's a great playing field, you know, to do it in entrepreneurship, because then you bring the lessons back. It's much harder to play with these things and pivot in the way you can in entrepreneurship as you would with your personal life and your relationships. But I don't think anything has helped me grow more as a person than my journey with entrepreneurship, even just self-belief and, you know, discipline. And like, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I need the sanity that I feel like my yoga and meditation practice give me to be able to be better at work, to be able to be better at home. So I feel like it all just blends in quite beautifully together. I mean, I absolutely love this journey and I think I do it over and over again.
No, more power to you, Ashika. If I was to close with a thought that remains from our conversation, you shared many, many insightful things. But I think the one thought I want to close with is, don't fight for that balance. Find that rhythm that works to move to where you are, to move to where you need to. So thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on Owning It. With every conversation with women who are taking control of their narrative, I'm constantly inspired. Don't forget to tune into the next conversation with yet another woman choosing her own path and owning it.